Oh, so go ahead and before you sit down, since you're up, just turn to somebody. Turn to somebody that you know and just say, let's get wild. Okay, now turn to somebody that you don't know. Now turn to somebody you don't know or don't know well, or you recognize their face and say the same thing. Say, let's get wild. Oh, such a fun thing to say. You can have a seat if you want, or you can actually practice what you just said and get wild and just stand up the whole sermon. That would be amazing. We're looking at the Advent text as we're starting to get ready for Christmas. Lots of changes are going on right now at Promise. This week, Pastor Scott took over the big office. Give it up for that. If you don't know, Pastor Scott last week, if you didn't read the newsletter, you weren't here last week, he accepted the call that he will be your new senior pastor. And that means I had to get my books out of one of the shelves. Do you guys have that? That you have some books that you can't get rid of, but you know you'll never read? So I got up on the chair, and in the far right-hand side top shelf, there were books that I hadn't seen in years, and I pulled this book down, and I remembered vividly. The title was, What to Expect When You're a Father. And I remembered the moment, and I remembered the place. If you don't know, I love books. Trish took me to the little Chinese restaurant that was over there by Pierre's, over by IPFW. You guys know the one I'm talking about? And it had a pagoda set up inside with little Christmas lights strung. And I was a vegan at the time, and so I ordered tofu. I've evolved and grown as a human being since then. And she said, hey, Henry, I got you a book. And she slid it across the table. Yeah, that's how she told me that she was pregnant with Adeline. And what I realized as I'm looking at that book is that place matters. Where something happens matters. Next to that was actually our premarital counseling books. Oh, does anybody still have those? Like, did anybody get a book for premarital counseling? Let me just tell you, after a quarter of a century of marriage, to look back and think, like we wrote down, here's what I expect in my marriage. that was a good joke. That was a good joke. Oh, but so place matters so very much. And when we look at today's text, so often, and open up to it if you got it, we're in John. No, we're not. We're in Mark. We're in Mark 1, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 8. And pay attention to place. This is how the story's told through Mark. He says, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. And if you're an underliner, just underline way, super important word. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, in the wild. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Now John appeared, baptized in the wilderness, and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed in camel's hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey, and he preached, saying, after me comes one who is mightier than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So what's going on here? First thing, don't miss the Bible O&E. This isn't anything new. In fact, when you look at it, did you notice that how much Mark is advocating Bible O&E? And if you don't know, if you're watching online, if you're not familiar with this, Bible O&E is that the Bible isn't a collection of stories. It is one narrative of a bunch of different events. It's one narrative. And everything that happens in the narrative informs the next thing, which informs the next thing, which informs the next thing. That it's this ongoing, that we are stepping in and the story's already happening. So when we look back on it, what's going on here is Mark is quoting from Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet, he wrote this somewhere between 740 and 681 years before Christ. That's when these words, and I'll just read them. You can see that they're a quote. Back in Isaiah 40, verse 3, to give a little context, I'll start in verse 1. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." And a voice in the wilderness prepares the way of the Lord. So 750-ish years before this happened, it was predicted. And it wasn't just, there's a reminder later. In Malachi, he was the last of those that were called the prophets. He says the same thing. He quotes it, 430 B.C., he quotes Isaiah going, guys, don't forget, it's been a couple hundred years, but this one who is the Messiah is still going to be coming, and you'll know he's coming when there's a voice prepared in the wilderness. Pay attention to wilderness. By the way, this gets kind of fun. We'll talk about this in a few weeks, but this is a just verse 2, if you're a note taker. I will send is what it says. In Greek, the word send, anybody know? It's actually apostle. All apostle means, and some of you that have done church for a while, you're going, what? All apostle means is sent one. This is one that's going to be sent to do something. So it says, I will apostle my, anybody know what the word messenger is? Angel. Yeah. Some of you are, you know how to read. Good. In case all the Zoomers just heard everybody say angel, it's written down on the sheet. So it actually says, I will apostle my angel. This doesn't mean that humans are going to get little wings and flutter around. It means that every angel is a messenger. But look at the person next. Anybody have a spouse that often is the messenger of the word of God to you? Like they remind you what God's word says? Sometimes it's gospel. More often, it's law. Yeah, just look at him and go, you're an angel. anybody got a parent in the room that does that to him? They remind you, that's our job. But this one's this special one, that he's going to apostle an angel to be a voice in the wilderness. And the message that John's going to be saying is, prepare the way. Now this is huge. This is get ready. This is gonna get really good. If you got your Bibles, you gotta pop it open to John 14, 6. This is one of those, I talked about it a few weeks ago, the ego a me statements where Jesus says, I am, where Jesus claims to be God. John 14, 6, Jesus says this. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you've known me, you would know, or you would also have known the Father. Now check this out, right? Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Life, we know this one. People are quick, especially those that are Christians, to go, no, Jesus is life. Jesus is eternal life. Through Jesus dying on the cross, our sins are forgiven and we will live with God forever. And we love Jesus being the truth. Anybody ever got in an argument over Jesus? Over different interpretations of the Bible? We love Jesus' truth, but Jesus starts by saying, I am the way. What does that mean? John the Baptist says, prepare the way. Jesus says, I am the way. Up here we got 1776, hopefully. That's a map of New York City, the island of Manhattan, in 1776. This is early on in our country's history. Other things happened that year. That wasn't as big of a laugh as I expected. If you look, there's this street that runs from the bottom left-hand corner up, and then it makes a right, and then it makes a left. That street, if you can zoom in on that, it's not called a street, it's called a way. See, a street is often called a way. And if you notice, that particular street is wider than the other streets. So like today, we'd call it wide street. Back then, they called it broad way. Let's fast forward to Google Maps today. That one did not come out well at all. Man, that zoomed in way too much. You can actually still see it. From 1776 to 2021, if you go to Google Maps, you can still just see where Broadway ran. They haven't moved the street for a couple hundred years. Is that not fascinating to anybody else? See, that's what happens with a way. Once you make a street, you can change the name, right? Calhoun can randomly change names somewhere downtown for about two blocks and then become Calhoun again, which makes giving directions so much fun. Lafayette becomes, Lafayette becomes Spy Run, becomes Coliseum, but it's the same way. Here's the question. When you're preparing a way, you gotta ask, when does the groove become a rut? I mean, honestly, look in your life. When does that thing that started as a path, that started as a way, that maybe even for a season was a groove and you could dance to it, and it becomes a rut. It becomes monotonous. And because in church, this is what we say sometimes. That's the way we've always done it. Anybody ever heard that? Or the inverse of that, well, we've never done it that way before. And we at Promise are different from that, because when we rearrange the chairs, nobody tells me their opinion. How about holidays? How about in your own family? Is there a way you have to do holidays? And this isn't a avoid saying Christmas, because it's not just the way you do Christmas. It's the way you do everything from October 31st through January 6th when you hold the last family Christmas gathering. There are things we've got to do. Why? Because we've always done it that way before. If we're not careful, we end up getting in a way that gets in our way. We end up getting in a rut that we can't get out of, and the very thing that it was intended to point to, it's no longer pointing to. See, Jesus comes along. I want to just hit that one just a little bit more. Everybody sang the song. It's a cute, poppy little song. This is the stuff that drives me crazy. Anybody relate to any of those verses? I can't relate at all to the 45 and the 35. Why would somebody drive that slow? We've got places to go. All right, what's that thing where you go, oh, I've got to, rather than, man, I get to. See, John was out in the wilderness. In verse 5, it tells us that the people came from the countryside of Judea. What's a countryside? A countryside, yes, it's literal countryside. But the countryside, it's right here. It's there in the middle where there's not ruts yet, but there's already paths. I read recently about a university that they were redoing their campus, and they realized, I don't know if you know this about universities, but the administration wants things to happen a certain way. And the students don't always do it that way. If you're taking notes, write that down. See, the administration wanted things to happen, and the students didn't. And so whenever they'd redo sidewalks, the students wouldn't walk on them. And so the architect had this crazy idea. He said, hey, let's just do this. Let's plant grass. Let's just plant grass. We let the students walk where they want to walk, and in a year, we'll know where to put the sidewalks. All the grass will be, and they did, and it was much more efficient. They realized, oh, more students go to this, so the grass is, and they knew how thick to make them. See, that's what happens in the countryside. Don't think that just because these people were in the countryside that they didn't already have these repetitive things that they did. Things that they did that may or may not have worked. Things that they did that often didn't work. And then in the city, right, that's what they mean when they say Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the metropolis of the day, the metropolitan area. They had paths that if you go there, which, by the way, we have 3 spots open for March, that we got 3 spots open, and you'll still see the Via Carte, the main route where everybody walked. People have walked the same paths for thousands of years. And Jesus is using a metaphor here. It's not about architecture. It's not about city planning. It's that we fall into these ruts. What are the big ruts that we fall into? We fall into, let me give you one of my favorite. The myth of redemptive violence. Anybody heard of this one? See, the myth of redemptive violence is great. You see it in every movie. If you hurt me, then I hurt you back. And then we're even. Anybody ever live that rut? Intentionally or unintentionally. And anybody ever see that rut work? No. I mean, watch one gangster movie. That's not a homework assignment. Watch one gangster movie. You hurt me, I hurt you and your family. You hurt me and my family, I destroy your entire tribe, and the next thing you know, somebody's hanging on the edge of a helicopter. See, the myth of redemptive violence is one of the ways that doesn't work, but when you go into the wilderness, it's going, there's not a path cut yet. There's a whole new way. You can trace that all the way through the Bible. In the wilderness, the path that was cut was one of slavery, and it says in Exodus that Moses is on the far side of the wilderness. And God goes, your identity isn't defined by how many pyramids you can build. It's defined by me calling you. It's not about Pharaoh inflicts pain on you and you inflict pain back. Let me give you a different way. See, that's why John called him out to the desert. To say there's a whole new way of doing this. See, every other religion in the world, this is incredible. Every religion in the world, you offer a sacrifice on an altar to get the favor of God. You do enough so that God looks on you and smiles on you. See, that's the way of the world. But Jesus said, no, I am the way. Let me give you a new way. You don't come and sacrifice on the altar to me. I go on the altar and I sacrifice myself for you. You receive me as the sacrifice. You don't do better so you can get my favor. I give you favor and so you get to do better. What we got on the next slide? How many days? Oh, one more. 12 shopping days. We got 12 days till the madness starts. At 12 days till Turkey Day. At that point, it's really tough to change away. At that point, it's really tough to go, hold on, we're going to do something different this holiday season. We got 12 days to keep Christmas wild. 12 days to go to the wilderness. 12 days to say, hold on, how can I keep Jesus the focus of Christmas? What's that look like for you? Like, let's just get really real. What's it look like to go to the wilderness this Christmas season? What's it look like to say, you know what, this Christmas season, I'm going to actually stop and crack open my Bible and immerse myself in the narrative? What's it look like to go, hold on, instead of going 43 different directions that I've complained about for the last 43 different years, I'm going to stop and go, hey, here's the person I'm going to disciple this season. I'm going to pull my kid, my grandkid, my niece, my nephew up on my lap, and I'm going to tell them the narrative. Not just the Christmas story, but the entire narrative that starts back in Genesis and grows through the maps. This is a time, before we pray, just take a second, and even on your note sheet, and if you're not a note taker, just text yourself. Go, hey, this Christmas season, this is how I'm going to go to the wild. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for pulling us out of our ruts, our habits that don't produce anything, but we just keep doing them. Our trying to make it better by our own work. God, teach us new ways. Ways that bring life, ways that bring hope, ways that bring dependence on you. God, thank you for going to the wilderness. God, there's some in our midst that need some healing and need it real bad. There's fear and anxiety that's around that. God, bring healing. And God, there's relationships that we dread the holidays because they're broken. And we know we can't fix them. But we trust that you can. So God, bring healing. And God, sometimes it takes a whole lot longer than we want. So continue to open our eyes to your timeline, to your way. And hear us as we pray that perfect prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We now prepare our hearts and our minds to receive this amazing gift that Jesus gave us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament."